Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. To all my fellow pastors, I've got a question for you. Does your city know that your church exists? Listen, I get it. You're preaching, you're leading, you're discipling, you're doing ministry. We are in the same boat. And let's be honest, social media and marketing, not your strong suit, not mine either. And that's probably the last thing on your mind. And that's why we chose to partner with Church Candy Marketing for our church plant, The Garden. We out here, y'all. They help churches get more actual guests walking through the doors on Sunday without you or I having to stress over ads or algorithms or trying to crack the social media code. Right now, Church Candy is helping nearly 400 churches reach their communities with simple invite ads, and it works. It's super effective. I can tell you from firsthand experience. So if you're tired of being your city's best kept secret, how about you do this? Go to churchcandy.com/Manny and book a free consultation, book a discovery call. Their team will break it all down and show you how to start seeing new faces at your church this Sunday. I'm in the trenches with you, trying to grow the church. And how about we just start a whole campaign? No more empty churches. So let's partner with Church Candy and get our churches full for the glory of Jesus. Let's go. All right. We're finally at Romans chapter 12 and 13. I love the way that Paul structures all of his books, really. A lot of the times, you can even see this like real clean in books like Ephesians, where the first three chapters are all about who you are, identity. And then it's once like we get the identity straight, then Paul gets into action. How are we actually going to put this into practice? And we finally get the same exact thing in Romans chapter 12. Okay, so for 11 chapters, Paul has addressed Gentiles. He's addressed Jews. He's addressed rebuttals that Jews would have to what he's saying to Gentiles and rebuttals that Gentiles would have for what he's saying about the Jews. He has put the Gentiles in their place. He has put the Jews in their place. He has humbled everybody. And finally, he can say, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. Now, this is one sacrifice. So offer your bodies collectively as a living sacrifice, which means this passage of scripture is not possible unless we walk in unity with one another. We're not offering God individual sacrifices. We're offering God one sacrifice. Remember, this is corporate. He's writing to a group that's struggling with division and strife. And he goes on to say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment and according with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, we got Gentiles, we got Greeks, we got Romans, we got Jews, though many, form one body and each member belongs to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. You see how Paul doesn't give any of this practical teaching about loving each other, being patient with each other, bearing each other's burdens, praying for one another, not being conceited, not being proud with each other, serving one another, using all of your gifts for the body. He doesn't give any of this practical stuff until he deals with the big theological issues in Romans chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. He first has to deal with the big why. Now he can get into how. Once you're convinced that you actually are one, now I can teach you how to be one. But I can't start with the practical until you are first, like, in agreement that you are one. And then it says this, do not take revenge. Okay, I know there's issues in the church. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I'll repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, okay, so on the contrary to revenge in God's wrath, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Okay, what's this burning coals on my enemy's head? Didn't we already get on the contrary? If this is contrary, this sounds a lot like the same, okay? But no, it is on the contrary. So burning coals. Every time we get burning coals in the Bible, they're in the presence of God. So what Paul is saying is if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. If he's hungry, feed him. In doing this, you usher the presence of the Lord into the presence of your enemy. Heaping burning coals on someone's head is not to hurt them. It's not a form of wreaking havoc or wreaking pain on them. It's actually a form of ushering the presence of God into that person's life. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul now just moves into, this is how to practically bear the burdens of the people that you're in church with. You are one with these people. It's so often, I think, that in our cultural climate, we just want a word for me. God, what do you want to say to me? And God a lot of times says, I have a lot to say to y'all. I do have things to say to you, but really you aren't more important than y'all. And I have something to say to y'all. Do you fit in with the y'all? Have you found your place with the y'all? And then we get into a verse that gets co-opted by Democrats, Republicans, and everybody in between. Chapter 13, verse 1 says this, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Remember, he's talking to a group of Jews that have literally just gone through like racial or ethnic persecution. Claudius expelled them from Rome just because they were Jews. He's talking to a group that's dealt with anti-Semitism. And he says, obey the governing authorities. And he himself is also Jewish. He's also talking to Gentile believers who are experiencing persecution. And he's like, hey, verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants. So if you think that, hey, my home is in heaven, I don't have to pay my taxes, slow down with that, okay? No, you need to pay your taxes down here on the earth. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And then more about love. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. I want you to love these people that you are in covenant with. And then Paul gets into, hey, like the day of the Lord is near, okay? The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. That means like Jesus coming back. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension or jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Nerdy nugget, okay? This whole clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, that was a whole person's job that granted access to kings in the ancient world, okay? The person who granted access to an audience with the king was in charge of like, if you needed to see the king, they would bathe you, they would clothe you, they would make sure that you're presentable so that you can stand before the king. And so Jesus is that for us. We have the right to stand before God, not on our own power or our own merit, but because we've placed faith and professed faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And what does he do? He bathes us and he clothes us so that we could stand before God. And what does he clothe us in? Our righteousness is a filthy rags. He clothes us in the righteousness of his blood, clothes us in the righteousness of himself so that we can actually stand before God blameless. Bible nerds, I have an announcement. My brand new book, Crushing Chaos, releases May of 2025 and pre-orders are officially open. When I began to learn Genesis in its proper context, I learned that the creation account is not primarily about God creating something out of nothing, but rather God bringing divine order to the chaos of the cosmos. That one nugget was a game changer for me because I've been preaching to all the kids in my youth group that peace was a solution for their anxiety. But really, God's solution to chaos is never peace, but rather order. Peace isn't something that you stumble into. It's something that you intentionally step into. And that starts with aligning your life with God's order. I think that this book is a game changer. It's nerdy, it's practical, it provides a very contextual understanding of the book of Genesis, and if you grab a copy, you'll learn why there's a huge dragon on the cover. Head to the link in the show notes to pre-order, or head to crushingchaos.com to see the really dope trailer that we made for this book. I think it's time for you to crush the chaos in your life, and that starts with grabbing a copy of this book. Now, back to the podcast. Now, you could see how talking about the end times of talking about Jesus coming back could cause people to go, okay, great, I'm not going to pay my taxes. And so Paul holds these things in tension. No, take care of your earthly responsibilities down here as we pray for and await the coming kingdom of God. And not the kingdom of God that's like inaugurated by Jesus, but no, the fullness of the kingdom of God. Not just the part of it that has started, but the part of it that is going to come into completion. The kingdom of God, like the new heaven and the new earth. Paul is not an extremist. And what I've enjoyed about reading through and studying the book of Romans has really been the tension that he continues to hold, which leads us to our timeless truth for the day. That wisdom is always found in tension. Truth is found in tension. Wisdom is rarely found in extremes. And so often I find people in extreme theological positions. I would say Calvinism is an extreme theological position. I would say that women not being able to be in ministry is an extreme theological position. But as we're going to see tomorrow, Paul commissions a whole woman to preach this letter called Romans to these house churches in Rome. And so Paul's going to create tension. There's now no longer Greek or Jew, slave or free, male or female. Oh, great. So we don't have to wear these head coverings anymore? Whoa. Women, put the head coverings back on. It's not honorable for you to pray without a head covering. There needs to be distinction. People need to know who men and women are. But I thought you said there's now no longer no male or female. And I could see Paul just going back and forth, trying to find balance because he's saying things that seem like they contradict with each other. But in a Hebrew world, you can say things that seemingly contradict and everyone holds both things in tension. In a Western world, we live in a polarized culture where we're not used to holding things in tension. And so as we've gone through Romans, I've tried to hold everything that Paul is saying in tension. Predestination, free will. Is there a benefit to being a Jew? Are the Jews better than me because I'm a Gentile? Like holding things in tension. Election, salvation, holding all these ideas in tension and not getting stuck or trapped into any of the pitfalls or ditches on the extreme views on either side. All right. Tomorrow, we get the last bit of Romans. We get chapters 14, 15, and 16. And I hope that our context clues, our nerdy nuggets, and our timeless truth today was helpful for you. We're almost at the end of Romans. And I'm going to be honest, I've loved studying the book of Romans and going through it with you. I'm proud of you. I'll see you right here tomorrow. You're doing an amazing job, and I'll see you right here. Love you guys. Peace. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bible Department podcast. You can find us online and learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and on Instagram at the Bible Department. If you enjoyed this episode and want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow.